Okay, then let's begin. Welcome to the second edition of Formal Methods in Software Engineering. Today we will first return to our mutex semaphore example for a bit. And last time we already established a few properties that such a semaphore implementation is supposed to satisfy, or that we want to hold in this in a model of a semaphore implementation. And one that we, I think, mentioned but didn't talk too much about was that there might be some crude protocol implemented that just gives out the token, the semaphore, to each process in a certain order. And it's not possible for some processes to take the token twice and do something in the critical section more than once before some other process has taken the token. And this property is called no strict sequencing. So our mutex shouldn't enforce that the processes gain access in a specific order. Now we can think about how we could model this statement in natural language, and then how to translate it into a logical formula. So, how would you model this? So, what would be a natural language expression that captures this property in a more formal way than it's written here? So already with respect to models and transition systems and so how could we quantify over paths, describe a path that, or describe all the paths that are satisfying this property? So I think I have an example of an allowed path here. Yeah, so this might help actually. So this is exactly the situation that we want to have, and we don't want to disallow. So first of all, what kind of quantification of a path should we employ? Do we demand something of every path, or do we demand something of just some path? No idea. Is it clear what the idea behind this is? Not clear. So, let's say we have a system that has a semaphore with, and we don't only have two processes. So either the semaphore is zero, it's one, or it's two, and depending on whether it's one or two, the process one or process two can enter the critical section, right? And now it's always the case that the next value of the semaphore is semaphore plus one, and this is just modulo this no syntactic modulo, but just hand waving modulo usage of critical section. So this protocol would just enforce that after the first process has entered the critical section, the second needs to enter the critical section before process one may enter it again. So this is a very stupid protocol, but we want to make sure that we don't have formalized our system in such a way that things like this might happen. So it might be a bigger system, and we want to just ensure that we didn't make a mistake like this. So the answer is more or less already on the board, right? So I have an allowed path. So there must be a path that somehow fits in this scheme. So it's an existential quantification of a path. So I need to ensure that among all the paths that I have, there is at least one that disproves that this is enforced. So that has process one in the critical section, leaving it again, and entering it again before process two has entered it. So in natural language, it would be like there exists a path such that is this. That's the correct one. Such that what? Or, well, let's leave that out and think about how to continue the sentence. So what's the characterizing property of this path? Okay, maybe it's too easy. So there exists a path with two distinct states satisfying C1. So we have two distinct states, like these two satisfying C1. And, well, okay, we can narrow this down to these, and then say, well, what must happen between those two distinct states? So we have two states satisfying C1, and no state in between should have this same property. So no state in between should satisfy C1. What? So we don't care what happens in between here. Well, actually we do, right? Uh, C2 should not hold.
Semaphore needs another state saying nobody has it right now.
Well, it has this zero value.
Well, it depends if you have three tasks or processes or two.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yes. So I modeled it that zero is no one has it, and one is process one, two is process two.
Because then there's no ordering.
Yeah, but do we need to enforce that it's zero, or can it also be something else? Well, okay, in this case, yes, this is a special implementation already. So in this case, we would need to enforce that it's zero. But if we don't know anything about the implementation, if we just forget about what I wrote in the upper part of the blackboard, can we still write a sentence that captures this without mentioning other processes, without mentioning C2 here? Is it possible? I'm wondering myself now. So the Huth and Ryan book doesn't say it satisfies C1, but rather has that property. And if we look closely now at what this means, so this means that no state between these two states has the property that there are two distinct states satisfying C1. No, that's stupid. That there exists a path, of course, yeah. But this doesn't make sense as well. Okay, let's just in this case refer to the concrete implementation and say no state between them satisfies C2, for example, right? So this is from the book. Maybe we can understand it, or I can understand it better by reading it again. And let's go with this version for the moment. So now C2 doesn't happen between two consequent usages of the critical section by process one. It's already also not really important what this is. The important thing is this existential quantification. So that's basically all I want to say, that we cannot express it in LTL because we don't have existential quantification over paths, right?
But that formula would also hold if we just have three consecutive states satisfying C1.
Right. So you satisfy C1 and not C1, for example. This would probably suffice then.
Yeah, but it would again be the same as satisfy zero.
Yeah, for this concrete implementation, yes. Yeah. Yeah, more or less. I mean, what I want to say with C2 is that process 2 is in the critical section without referring to the semaphore. Okay. So I can just, in USMV, I would say P2 dot state equals crit or something like that, right? So that doesn't refer to the semaphore, but just to the critical section or the state of the process. Okay, but I already said that I cannot turn this into LTL. But this is an existential quantifier on the very outside of the formula. So what I could try is just to model the complement of this formula. So just turn it around. Maybe it's even easier to formulate it then. And see what happens. So. So what would that be? So we demand now something of all paths and a property that then violates this. So exactly the property that we want to not ensure or want to dismiss, we now want to enforce, because then we can at least formulate it in LTL. So let's begin with all paths. All paths what? All paths that somehow are in the critical section and then suddenly are not in the critical section anymore. So we can describe that as having a C1 period which ends. So and now we want to enforce that C2 or some other process gains the critical section before C1, before process 1 gains access again. So that means, well, so it cannot have a C1 state before a C2 state occurs. Right, that's something we can probably formulate in LTL. And how? What's the formula? C2 releases C1. Is that already enough? I'm going to write it down now. C1. So I'm always translating that to weak until. That means C1 weak until C2 and C1. So that means C1 is true either indefinitely or at some point then C1 and C2 hold at the same time. So it's not exactly what we want. It's already close. And also this doesn't capture that C1 might not hold at the beginning of the path. So that means C1 has to hold from the beginning on. An F. Yes, okay. But that still wouldn't capture it, right? So one idea, I can take this ahead. So You usually start with things like that. So C1 implies. This is a good scheme for properties like that. So it has to hold globally that if we're in C1, then something happens. And what is this something now? Should be easier a bit.
Condition that the C1 period actually ends in the antecedent as well?
Well, not really, because I say that all paths that have a C1 period which ends, so it can also be that it doesn't end. Then, because it's an implication, it still would be true. But yes, we need to formulate somehow that the C1 period might never end. Yeah?
That implies that for all states C1 holds.
How do I write that?
G CR1.
Okay.
Or C2 releases not C1.
FC2.
Outside.
FC2 are not C1. Okay, that looks complicated. So look at here. Well, this is already good. Either C1 holds indefinitely, that's fine. Or, and I'll translate this again because I can never read. Releases correctly. Not C1, weak until C2 and not C1. Okay, that looks good. But is this future F the right choice? Is it really F?
C1 until
C2 releases, not C1. C1 until. I mean, here instead of F.
Yes.
So C1 until. C2 releases, not C1.
So then you can just use C1
week after. Yep. Exactly. C1. That should be it, yeah. Exactly. So either, once we're in C1, we require that either we indefinitely stay in C1, or if the C1 period ends, then not C1 has to hold either indefinitely, or we encounter a C2 state and a not C1 state in some place. Right? That's exactly this statement. Okay. Now in USMV, we don't have weak until, so we would have to rewrite weak until using until and disjunction again. But I won't do that now because it's already taken too much time. But I can show you the finished formula and then we'll have a look at it shortly. I need to turn off the light again. mutex should be this one. Okay, a bit larger. Is it visible? Yeah. So I guess it's this bottom line here, right? So globally, if we're critical, and so on, and so on. So this is the one. I give it a name, foo, and then we can new SMB. Oops. ESP foo. Ah. What was the? Great. There was something about minus P, but maybe it was a subparameter of. Yeah, it's just working in the interactive interface. So. Go and then check. CTL LTL spec minus P foo. Okay, and because it fails, it even fails with a strange error. I should take the other file, which I prepared because of this error. Go. Ah, but it's not called foo in there. But it doesn't matter. I can just check all the LTL specifications. Ah, and I commented the relevant one out. So let's copy this one. Paste. And again. Capital P. Okay, so here without intermediate warnings or errors. So it gives a counterexample for the specification. That means that there exists a path satisfying this property that in between two C1 states there is a state that is not neither C2 nor C1. And therefore the property holds. So we can abuse the negation of formulas to prove properties which are not really expressible in LTL as such. So we can nevertheless use new SMB to verify these. Of course, it's not as beautiful because there is a trace every time you verify this property, and you need to somehow take note that what you did is really ensuring a property and not disproving something. But it's possible. Okay, let's go on okay, that's only the formula again. We've already seen it. But then there are other properties which we cannot express in LTL, not even by playing around with negation, complementing. For example, this non-blocking property that I stated last time already, which sounds a bit awkward, so a process that is idling can always request to enter the critical section. Can we do something like we did before with non-strict sequencing? And if not, why? I already mentioned it before. So first of all, what would be the natural language formalization again? This is easier. Put it on the blackboard again. Such that what?
Such that the next that idle implies there exists. Such that idle implies in the next state there exists a path where the next state.
I call it requests, it's shorter. Okay, let's see if this is the correct one. A process can always request to enter its critical section.
What will it quantify inside the application?
So what's with this path then? Is this all quantified, universally quantified? Yeah. So for all paths, idle implies that there exists a path such that the next state on the path, such that on in the next state on the path request holds. No, it's correct. Yes, exactly. So we have a universal quantification on the outside, which would already indicate that, well, LTL could maybe cover it, but then there is this existential quantifier in here. So we have no way of dealing with this. So if we negate the whole thing, then this turns into a universal quantification and this is an existential quantifier. Yeah, this doesn't help really. So we argued informally, more or less, that this is not expressible in LTL. But of course, we learned that there is another formalization of formalism for temporal logic CTL, which can cope with these things. And I quickly repeat what CTL looks like and what it does and how it works. So the syntax of CTL is like this. So we have, like in LTL, the Boolean connectors and some propositional formulae, propositional atoms. And for all the modalities of LTL, U and X in the minimal syntax, we also have versions for, oh, I forgot the AX. So there's one missing, so AX and EX, EU and AU, which mean that in this case, of course, existential quantification over paths and universal quantification over paths. And this CTL is called computation tree logic, and here's why. So let's look at the model like this. You've seen it on the slides from last week already. And you can basically unroll this model from the start state, from this starting state Q3, and just look at all the paths that arise in some way. So you can enumerate them, and then what you get is a tree. So from Q3, you can go to Q1 and then to Q2 and stay indefinitely there. Or you can go to Q2 and stay indefinitely there, or to Q4 and so on. So this is a computation tree of this transition system. And now we can have a look at what different formulas or what computation trees would satisfy different formulas in this logic. So I need more space again. Should start so big. Well, okay. How many? It doesn't really matter. Like this. Yeah. Just an exemplary tree. So let's do three things here. Okay, that should be sufficient. Now, do we have colored chalk as well? No, of course not. So, okay, so let's just color circles which have to satisfy the property P such that AXP holds. I'll number these 0, 1, 2. 3. Okay, which circles do I have to cross, which states do I have to cross in order to satisfy AXP in this computation tree? The root.
No, where?
Yeah, yeah. It's always from the. It's always from the root.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is A X P. What would this tree look like if it satisfied EGP? I think we can just describe it. Yeah?
The entire path to one leaf has to satisfy P.
Mm-hmm. Just a bit careful, there is no leaf, never. So it's always infinite paths. But yes, okay, I can just say, well, this here is EGP. And then let's choose one of these. Of course, I need two markers now. I can just use P and Q. Let's take A, P until Q. What would the tree look like then? So of course, this A means on all paths. So if you would interpret it just in the model, then you look at all paths. And in the tree, it's really just following in the direction of a leaf. Yeah. So on the whole tree, basically, every single path that you take, something must hold if this A is in front. And then this is just interpreted like in LTL. So for A, P until Q, we would have, for example, P must hold here, P must hold here, here, here. Then, for example, we can say that Q holds here. Then this path and all the others are already taken care of. Then we could say that P holds here still, but then there must be another path, another state where Q holds, and we can say that Q holds here already, and here we have P, Q, 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 for example. So this would be a tree that satisfies A, P until Q. The Q? Yes, it must occur, because it's until and not weak until. So for weak until, you would have the possibility that P occurs indefinitely long. I mean, the Q, I'm not sure if about empty path, about empty conditions. So if P doesn't ever hold, what's the case then? No, still that must, P must hold at some point, and then finally sometime Q must hold. There was the issue about the present includes the future. So no. If Q holds from the beginning on, then it's already taken care of, yes. So I guess that if Q holds here in the root, all the others are already taken care of. But we can look that up again. In the slides, there was the satisfaction relation for, or I can also look it up in the Heath and Ryan book. this one. Where is it? Oh no. Why doesn't this work? Strange thing. Semantics of CTL.
Q has to hold, but P doesn't have to hold it.
In the first state.
Yeah,
yeah, so if I can put it over here for a second. Come on. Okay, here we go. A phi 1 until phi 2 holds if for all paths S1 to something, that path satisfies phi 1 until phi 2. That is, there is some Si along the path such that Si satisfies phi 2. And this I can also be 1, right? So yes. And for each j smaller than I, which is not possible in this case, we have Sj satisfies phi 1. So yes, you're right. Okay, but equipped with this formalism, CTL, how would we be able to formulate this sentence here, which I gladly did not erase? so that we can put it into new SMB. It's relatively straightforward. And why did I dim the lights? It's a similar situation to what I or what we had before with this C1 implies stuff. So the same here. Only in CTL. So I'll give you a head start again. So on all paths, it must hold that globally idle implies that. Yeah. Exactly. So that is this non-blocking property in CTL. And we can, of course, try it in our semaphore example. And this should work. So the command for CTL is, of course, CTL spec. What the So AG, now I need to look, nothing critical is, it is called done one here. So you might have noticed I updated this from the last tutorial to two processes already, and I added a few definitions to match more closely these names in the tutorial. So critical one is C1, done one, done two are idle, and req are the request proper request states. So done one implies ex rec one, and I can just add another. Oops, add another one for the second process. Okay, and then I can run it again. And it will give me that these specifications of the non-blocking property are true for our semaphore realization. Yeah. Oh, this is already here. Okay, EF. This should be EX. But EF should work as well. No, it must be EX. Yeah. But what would be EF in this case? Yeah, but EF would be that it is blocked basically, and just it at some point it will resolve the blockage and it's able to request entrance again. Okay, but more generally, there are certain properties that one can express in LTL and CTL, and there are properties which you can just express in CTL, but there are also properties that you can express in LTL only. So, for example, in both LTL and CTL, you can formulate reactivity properties, like it globally holds that from P it follows that finally some Q holds. This is the same as replacing G and F by AG and AF. So that doesn't change anything. Or invariants, so globally some invariant holds. It's the same as on all paths globally some invariant holds, of course. And there are other examples, but we are more interested in the ones that are only expressible in one kind of language. For example, this reset property, AGEFP. So on all paths, there exists a path such that finally something holds. So in this example here, so you can traverse this tree downwards, and any point that you can reach has a path going out from there on which at some point this P holds. So this you cannot express using LTL exactly for this reason we mentioned earlier. So this is a mixture of universal quantification and existential quantification over paths. So in LTL you always stay on one path, and here you traverse one path and then you switch to another, and you switch the model of choice. Then, for example, these two. On all paths, finally, it must hold that on all paths from there, the next state satisfies P. Versus, finally, the next state satisfies P. Can you think of two models, very simple models, that are distinguished by this one, but are treated as the same by this one. We can. Well, let's make it a bit easier because it's taking too much time else. Otherwise, so I give you one, and you tell me the other. I drew it here already. So example this. So let's call this M. Now the question is, and this is as zero. So does this hold? First of all. Mm-hmm. So I can remove the question mark. So for all paths, it is finally the case that we reach a path, reach a state where on all paths the next state satisfies P. So if we go this way around, then this is the state that witnesses it. So from here, all paths that spread out satisfy P. And if we go this way around, then we can reach this state, and from this state on, all paths have a state satisfying P as the next state. And at the same time, does M as zero satisfy the LTL formula FXP? Mm-hmm. Yes, it does as well. So it is finally the case that next P for all paths that you can build here. So, but the reason why these are satisfied are different, and also the points where it spreads out are different. So, how can we modify this model in such a way that this doesn't hold anymore, but this still holds? Or we don't have to modify it, we can also give a different example where it's witnessed. Can I just draw one? Okay, now FXP holds, yes. Because on all paths here, so you must either reach this state or this state. And for these both states, it holds that next p. And so let's call this m prime. M prime s0 satisfies fx p. But, so let's check the other property. For all paths, there must finally, you must finally reach a state where all outgoing paths have a p state as a successor. And this is not true because, on this path, the only p successor is this one, but this doesn't satisfy p, so it's wrong here, and you can then only go on in this direction, and you never will encounter any p successor anymore. And in this direction is the same problem. So m prime s0 does not satisfy this af ax p. Correct. And of course there are more, and we will also discuss in the lecture probably once we deal with CTL star how one can prove that this is really not expressible. So there's a simple proof of this fact using CTL star. And if Tadeusz doesn't do it in the lecture, then I will do it in the exercise. But as I said, there is also a set of properties that is only expressible by LTL and not by CTL. So CTL is not really a stronger formalism. They are somehow disjoint. For example, fairness properties, and I think Tadeusz already mentioned that in the lecture. So things like if globally finally P holds and globally finally Q holds, then R holds in the current state. So this is not expressible in CTL because we cannot forget about the states that we already visited. So this R is on the first state, but with CTL we could also express this fact, but not the whole fact. So if you add AG and AF here and AG and AF here, it would be something different. I think this is already, where is it? Yeah, this is similar to this example here. So AF, AX, if you turn it around and you use G instead of X, then you probably will get something similar to this situation. And what about this simple one? What does it mean? So, on all paths, in some future state, it is the case that from there on, globally, P holds. And this you cannot express using CTL. So, that's another small exercise. So, can you give a model, a single model in this case, which satisfies FGP but not AFAGP. So M or the other way around. So one can construct this somehow. Let's just take some states, and then in some future state, so we start here, this is S0. In some future state, it must globally, P must globally be true. So let's just add a self loop and add a P here. So in this model, this is M, it is already true that finally, in all futures, in some future state, globally, P holds. And now we need to refute AFAGP. So what can we do? How can we adjust the model? So at the moment, I think it's still true. So there's only one path that we can take. And on this path, there's some state where on all paths, globally P holds. So that's fine, right?
You can do pretty much the same thing as before.
Describe it.
So you just draw the same thing as before.
I think I wiped it.
Or you need a second successor to S0?
Like this. This one?
And give the last one a successor where P holds and
this? But this still seems fine.
But if we make the second one on the bottom a successor of the upper P stage.
Yeah, that should suffice.
No.
I think so, yes. Yeah. But then we can also just leave out all this junk and just make this one looping in add a P. So this is the same thing. Right, so now we have the possibility of staying indefinitely in here. So this is one of these paths, and on this single indefinite path, there is no, well, you need to stop sometime, and then from there on, all paths must globally satisfy P, but then once you stop in the tree, so the tree looks like this, this is S1, S2. S0, 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 and so on. And then every time here you go to S1, 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 and from there you always go to S2, and so on, right? And here you can also go to S1, like this. So if you evaluate this formula in this tree, then it means, well, you traverse down this path, for example, and then you must reach a state where all outgoing paths globally satisfy P. But then you can just take this path and refute it. So suddenly S1 doesn't satisfy P and it's broken. So there are subtle nuances about this stuff, about these differences between CTL and LTL, and one has to be careful which language to choose, and especially it's very difficult to grasp complex formulas in CTL, so that's a bit of a problem when specifying systems. So the if your specification is wrong from the beginning, then how should you be sure that your model is correct? So that moves the problem to a different portion, to a different place. Okay, and now that should be enough about CTL, LTL, and logic in general. And there was something that I hadn't noticed before, but is important, so I want to tell you about it. Julian told me about it. Bounded model checking can sometimes find counterexamples where unrestricted model checking doesn't. So you can construct your model in such a way that finite paths are somehow admitted, and the LTL model checking or the model checker just doesn't notice it and doesn't care about these finite paths. So, for example, there's this very minimal example in the new SMV manual. This is explicitly covered in the manual. So you can just define a variable, a Boolean variable, and define a transition. I already mentioned this trans constraint in the homework sheet. So you might have looked it up. So just you can just give a Boolean formula to this trans keyword, and it automatically generates transitions in your system according to this Boolean value, to this Boolean formula. And if you look at this program, then this specification should be true, right? So globally, S equals true because all the transitions that are generated require that S equals true. And in the regular unbounded model checking, this is really the case. So this LTL spec returns true, so it's true. But actually, this model has two reachable states. So if you generate the reachable states, then what are the reachable states? Yeah, exactly.
All
so,
the states that exist at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, the state S equals false, which is a bit hidden here. So, you think you generate only the transitions for S equals true, but the transitions don't coincide with the states. So, of course, because you define a Boolean variable, there can be two states, one where the variable is true and one where the variable is false. And this just generates transitions. So if we start in this state where S equals false, and we do not step, because that's just a path consisting of only one single state, then suddenly this specification is not true anymore. Because then we found a path, a finite path, which refutes this formula. So because the transition is only generated for one of these states, we have a finite path, we have generated a finite path which the bounded model checking considers and then refutes the LTL specification with it. And the solution, which is also already given in the manual, is that you can add a justice constraint. So you can, of course, we learned that justice constraints restrict the attention of the model checker to paths which satisfy a certain formula. Well, paths on which something is true infinitely often. And of course, true is true infinitely often on any infinite path, but not on a finite path. So just adding justice true ensures that the model checker, the bounded model checker, behaves exactly like the unbounded model checker and doesn't consider finite paths. So this, of course, might ruin things like your homework exercise with a bridge problem where you actually want the shortest solution and want to cut off at some point and not read off your solution from an infinite path that loops somewhere and maybe is longer than is necessary. But if for some reason you get issues in your bounded model checking, then this might be the case. So, yeah. So and that's it for the theory today, and I have only 10 minutes left, so yeah, we can stop here.